The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the MSN.com site, The Most Accessible 2022 Olympic Games Yet. From Paralympic.org, Torch Relay is underway. From EssentiallySports.com, Paralympic star tells how VI athletes compete in alpine skiing. From Paralympic.org, Paralympic cross-country skiing. From Coolblind Tech, good maps navigation at CSUN 22. From AFB, the Department of Justice finalizes digital accessibility regulations. So let's get started. The 2022 Paralympics viewing experience will be the most accessible yet. Here's what that means from MSN.com. The Winter 2022 Paralympics in Beijing are set to be the most inclusive viewing experience in the Games' history, featuring enhanced tools for viewing live sports and engaging with Paralympic content online. And with the Games being aired in coveted primetime slots, the accessibility of these events is especially important. But what does that entail for the viewers themselves? NBC, the official broadcaster of the Olympic and Paralympic Games in the U.S., announced that it was enhancing its accessible viewing options in response to the success of the historic Tokyo Games in 2020, which featured the first full closed captioning service for all digital live streams. This year's Games will now include 120 hours of television content, including 3 hours of primetime coverage, and even more changes to both its live and digital content. In line with international standards for web accessibility, the expanded Paralympic coverage includes upgrades to the NBC website, like enhanced contrast, increased compatibility with screen readers, and keyboard-only navigation, especially helpful for those with mobility concerns. These enhancements build on the official International Paralympic Committee's, IPC's, own goal of greater digital accessibility, especially for its video-based online content. And live broadcasts offer even more changes that promote accessibility. One of the biggest additions to 2022 Paralympic viewers, first deployed during the Tokyo Summer Games last year, are expanded closed captions for both live primetime broadcasts and digital live streams through the NBC app and Paralympic website, making all sporting events navigable for viewers who are deaf or hard of hearing. For people who have blind or have low vision, NBC has added audio description services to all of its Paralympic coverage. The services, in which broadcast audio is interspersed with skilled voices describing Olympic and Paralympic scenes and context, according to NBC, have been automatically added to the events, including the opening and closing ceremonies scheduled to air on NBC's USA network. When scrolling through videos and event highlights found on the NBC website and app, look for AD after the event title or find with audio description in the video's summary. For cable television, audio descriptions can be turned on through your TV's secondary audio program, SAP, settings, which can usually be found under audio or closed captions in the settings menu. You can also find a list of all events with audio descriptions as well as access audio described replays at the hot link on the website. That's from MSN.com. Beyond the live viewing experience offered on NBC, the official Paralympic website, which doesn't air live broadcasts but offers other features like event schedules, medal counts, replays, and featured video content about the games, has integrated a fleet of accessible features into its user experience. Using a built-in widget, the small blue circle in the upper right corner of the page visitors can change the website's text size, screen contrast and color, and even switch the page font to two different typefaces that are easier for people with dyslexia to read. You can pause all automatic playing animations, highlight all clickable links, and make other text format changes like line spacing, all in one place. The widget also includes a built-in screen reader with adjustable speeds, as well as reading guides and highlighting tools for those who have cognitive or visual disabilities. The immense variety of digital tools added in order to expand an already impressive international event for athletes with disabilities is especially important for former competitors. When I participated in the Olympics Games, the world then was not fixed at all. It was not accessible to people with wheelchairs, reflected Yossi Wengier, an early Paralympic swimmer and medalist, spelled W-E-N-G-I-E-R. The problem now is for people with the kinds of disabilities that make the internet killer, like blind people or people with cognitive disabilities. And I'm not only talking about sports, I'm thinking about everything. There are 1.2 billion disabled people around the world, Wengier explains. For the last 10 years, Wengier has worked with activists in the disability movement and tech companies, including those behind the Paralympics tech features, to advocate for expanded digital accessibility. Seeing the amount of accessible online tools made available during the Tokyo and Beijing Paralympic Games made him emotional. That is the future, he said. According to user Wei, the digital tech company behind the Paralympic Games integrated accessibility widget, the website is setting a standard for accessible user design, a fact that shouldn't come as a surprise for an event predicated on advancing the representation of athletes and people with disabilities. When the Paralympics say they're the most accessible ever, it's partially because the technology is the most advanced ever, explained Lionel Wolberger, W-O-L-B-E-R-G-E-R, Chief Operating Officer of User Way. 1 in 5 people have a disability that needs assistance or remediation. Clearly, the Paralympics organization took it upon themselves to really make this a priority. User Way's human side widget allows any site visitor to customize the page to their own needs without the need of third-party tech or browser add-ons. And with its intense accessibility, the website can act as a bridge for viewers with disabilities to find more Paralympic content, athletes, and accessibility resources elsewhere. The possibilities for customization and engagement are really endless. The widget's site features are also paired with original IPC content made explicitly for viewers with disabilities, like athlete interviews with on-screen sign language interpreters and sport highlights with audio descriptions. Wolberger says that the IPC, along with commitments from major players like NBC, is a model for how other organizations can promote representation and access. And he says there needs to be active engagement from viewers and visitors of the Paralympic and NBC sites in order to encourage companies, sponsors, and institutions like these to continue expanding these kinds of accessibility offerings. Awareness is a big driver across our industry, Wolberger explains. It's a conversation that keeps picking up momentum every year, according to User Way. Not only because it's an important cause, but because many now have zero tolerance for companies and organizations that refuse to make their work accessible. The additions to the 2022 Games are not only beneficial to athletes and viewers with disabilities, they can also help just about everyone who uses the site, streaming services, or live broadcasts, Wolberger says. Closed captioning is useful for anyone with audio or visual processing concerns, and people with ADHD, or even just those who need to multitask while following along with their favorite athletes. And tools like slower screen readers or fonts that aid those with dyslexia can make navigating busy websites more manageable for all of us. It's in everyone's favor to continue advocating for more accessible features on major sites like these and across the internet. While the 2022 Paralympic Games gets ready to display the awe-inspiring talent of hundreds of athletes with disabilities, what's just as important is that the communities being represented on the slope and the screen are able to engage with the games in easy, accessible ways. With primetime coverage and new features, it seems like the 2022 Games are just the beginning of this expanded access. The 2022 Paralympic Games can be watched on NBC, Peacock, USA Network, the Olympic Channel, NBCOlympics.com, and the NBC Sports app. Microsoft may earn an affiliate commission if you purchase something through recommended links in this article. From Paralympic.org, Beijing 2022 Paralympic Winter Games torch relay gets underway. At the Beijing School for the Blind, 30 students and teachers sang World with Love. The torch relay for the Beijing 2022 Paralympic Winter Games got underway on Wednesday. In all, 565 torchbearers will be participating in the relay at Beijing, Yangqing, and Zhangjiakou competition zones. The flame of the Paralympic torch will be a combination of 9 flames brought together from 9 different locations. The Paralympic Heritage Flame was first lit at Stock Mandeville, London, the birthplace of Paralympics, on 1st of March, and the remaining 8 flames were lit on Wednesday, the 2nd of March, in schools, libraries, and historic landmarks across the 3 Paralympics competition zones. Some of the landmarks include Beijing School for the Blind, Badaling Ancient Great Wall, and Temple of Heaven, among others. These 9 flames then united into the official flame at the Temple of Heaven Park, an architectural marvel of the Ming and Qing dynasties. That might be pronounced Qing, I'm not sure. Every flame collection point witnessed around 20 torchbearers in action. At the Beijing School for the Blind, 30 students and teachers sang World with Love. As they hit a high note, a pressure sensor activated a device to light one of the 8 flames. Some of the torchbearers at the school were Cheng Kai, vice chairman of the China Disabled Persons Federation, goalball athlete Yang Mingyan, blind soccer player Zhu Ruiming, and special education teachers. A few of the students will also be part of the opening ceremony on Friday. The torch relay on Thursday, the 3rd of March, is scheduled to travel inside Beijing's closed-loop COVID-19 prevention system to ensure games organizers, athletes, and officials are separated from the population. The relay will pass through 4 places in Shangjiakou in the morning and later in the afternoon. The torch relay will be held at 2 places in Beijing, including the Olympic Forest South Park. Here, 20 torchbearers from the International Paralympic Committee, IPC, family, will be carrying the torch. The final leg of the torch relay will be held on Friday, continuing at 3 more locations, including the Beijing 2022 Organizing Committee, BOCOG, headquarters, before the cauldron is lit during the opening ceremony. From EssentiallySports.com, Winter Paralympics star reveals how visually impaired athletes compete in the dangerous alpine skiing events. The thought of hurtling down an icy mountain slope at speeds upwards of 70 miles an hour is a frightening thought. For the Paralympian athletes at the upcoming Beijing Winter Paralympics 2022, the act would be much scarier. Nevertheless, Paralympic skiers do it all the time as they go for glory at the Paralympics. In fact, Paralympic alpine skiing is open to athletes who are amputees, visually impaired, wheelchair-bound, or suffering from brain injuries and impairments. A Paralympian who shines bright across the world is Millie Knight. The British Paralympic skier only has 5% of her sight. However, that didn't stop her from becoming one of the most decorated skiers of the past decade. How Millie Knight skis downhill with visual impairment. Millie Knight was just 6 years old when she lost most of her vision. She was the youngest person to compete for the Great Britain Paralympics team at the Winter Paralympic Games in 2014. Moreover, she was also the Great Britain flag bearer at the 2014 Winter Paralympics. Subsequently, she went on to win a bronze medal, 4 silver medals, and a gold medal between 2015 and 2017 at the World Championships. Then, when time came to compete at the 2018 Pyeongchang Winter Olympics, Knight excelled with 2 silver medals and a bronze medal. As the Beijing Winter Paralympics 2022 approaches in the first week of March, the burning question for many is, how do Paralympians like Knight ski with little to no vision? Here is where their ski guides come in. Ski guides ski downhill along with the Paralympian, calling out every turn loudly and always a turn ahead. The Paralympian then follows their verbal cues and turns along the curves accordingly. Knight, in particular, says, "I ski with my ears." She follows her guide's verbal instructions as well as the sound of his skis on the ice. Additionally, the guide also instructs Knight to load and roll, signifying weight distribution tactics on the skis. In fact, when it comes to skiing downhill at breakneck speeds with visual impairment, the bafflement of it is not lost on Knight. Beijing Winter Paralympics 2022 could be her last games. "It does seem a bit weird," Knight said, about throwing herself down a mountain with visual impairment. "I think there must be some form of screw loose in my head," the 22-year-old Paralympian admitted. However, Knight was never going to let herself miss out on experiences due to her impairment. "Just because I couldn't see didn't mean that I wouldn't be going on family ski trips," she shared. Moreover, she also revealed the moment she decided to become a Paralympic skier. "I went on one trip, and from the moment I drove up the mountain and saw so much snow, I just thought, yeah, this is the sport for me," the world champion stated. Having 5% of her vision is not going to bring Millie Knight down, and she emphasizes that. "I love the way I view the world. I love the way that I see," she said. Furthermore, Knight shared that the Beijing Winter Paralympics 2022 could be her last Paralympics outing. Thus, she is going to ensure that she has nothing to regret. Author Samarveer Singh is a tennis writer at Essentially Sports. Holding a degree in English literature and a diploma in fitness sciences and training, Samarveer is obsessed with tennis and basketball. He's also an automotive writer at Hot Cars. His name is spelled Samarveer Singh. Another from Paralympic.org, Sport Week, ones to watch for para cross-country skiing. Champions and hopefuls, here are the para cross-country skiers to keep an eye on. With a variety of skiing styles and distances to master, para cross-country skiing is the ultimate test of endurance. Check out some of the athletes who have shown they have what it takes to go the distance. A quadruple world champion from the women's vision impaired category, Karina Edlinger, Edlinger, has firmly established herself as one of the skiers to beat. Having won two golds on her world's debut in 2017, Edlinger went on to reach the Paralympics at Pyeongchang in 2018. Her podium plans were dashed in most events, but she picked up one bronze instead. Now more experienced, Edlinger and her guide, Daniel Bauer, Bauer, have every chance to reach the top of the podium on their second attempt, Oksana Masters, USA. Incredibly, at Beijing 2022, Oksana Masters will compete at her sixth Paralympic Games in a decade. Originally a rower, Masters claimed bronze at London 2012. A back injury forced her into retirement, but she soon returned to the sport, taking up hand cycling, biathlon, and cross-country skiing. At Sochi 2014, she secured two medals in cross-country skiing, 2 years before competing at the Rio 2016 Paralympics. At Pyeongchang 2018, she improved on her performance from 4 years prior to bag double gold. Then at Tokyo 2020, she grabbed two cycling titles in the road race H5 and time trial H45. At the World Championships level, Masters is also a 7-time world champion in cross-country. Brian McKeever, Canada. Brian McKeever is the most decorated male Paralympic cross-country skier of all time. Debuting at Salt Lake City 2002, McKeever has won 13 golds across 5 editions. In fact, McKeever has only finished off the Paralympic podium once in his illustrious career, and that was in a team relay. Every single other performance has delivered Canada another McKeever medal. Also a winner of dozens of world titles, McKeever expects to retire after Beijing 2022, but for one last time at least, we will all get to enjoy the Canadian marvel compete with guides Graham Nishikawa and Russell Kennedy. Sebastian Modin, Sweden, M-O-D-I-N. Sebastian Modin is in the hunt for a fourth medal from a fourth straight Paralympics in Beijing, but his gold has so far eluded him. Having started out at Vancouver 2010 as the youngest athlete at the Games and taking a bronze, Modin has maintained his podium potential. In 2017, he won his first world title in the sprint vision impaired, successfully defending it 2 years later. His best performance at a Paralympics game at Sochi 2014, where he left with two silvers and a bronze. At Pyeongchang 2018, he landed in the top three once again with a silver. Alongside guide Robin Brynteson, Brynteson, Modin will be hopeful of a long-awaited gold. Natalie Wilkie, Canada. Natalie Wilkie, W-I-L-K-I-E, burst onto the top of the podium at Pyeongchang 2018, claiming gold in the women's standing just 1 year after taking up para cross-country skiing. The then 17-year-old also grabbed bronze and silver, proving her to be an aspired addition to the Canadian team. An avid cross-country skier before a woodworking accident at school left her without four fingers, Wilkie had to learn to ski with one pole. At 21, she is one of her country's strongest medal hopes ahead of the 2022 Winter Paralympics. Vilde Nielsen, Norway, N-I-L-S-E-N. Disrupting the dominance of Ukrainian and Russian Paralympic Committee skiers in the women's standing, Nielsen is the reigning world champion in two separate events. Mastering most of the distances, there is not much the 21-year-old cannot do. Her Paralympic debut in 2018 also saw her win one silver. From global.chinadaily.com.cn, visually impaired students hit high note to spark flame for Paralympics. The flame lighting ceremony for the 2022 Beijing Winter Paralympic Games was held at the Beijing School for the Blind Haidian, H-A-I-D-I-A-N, district on Wednesday morning. A chorus of 30 teachers and visually impaired students sang as the flame of light, one of eight lit in different places across three composition zones for the games in Beijing, its northwest Yangqing district and Zhangjiakou Hebei promise, was ignited at the school. When they hit a high note during the song, titled World with Love, a device triggered by the sound sparked the lighter that created the flame. Cheng Kai, vice chairman of the China Disabled Persons Federation, lit the first torch at the site and passed it to torchbearer Yao Yufeng, an ophthalmologist at a hospital affiliated with the medical school of Zhejiang University. Other torchbearers include goalball athlete Yang Mingyuan, blind soccer player Zhu Riming, special education teachers, and heads of blind massage companies. I'm honored to pass the flame of light at such a special place. It's really meaningful, Yao said. I think the relay carries on a spirit. Whenever we as a people, a team, and a nation encounter misfortune, we should have strong faith that tomorrow will be better. Sun Qin, XIN, a 32-year-old teacher for special education at the school, said though some of the students in the chorus cried from the intensity of the rehearsals, they didn't quit. Li Yiran, 17, said she was really nervous but excited to participate in the flame lighting ceremony as a member of the choir. We started to prepare for the chorus a long time ago, and I think I performed well, she said. Some of the students will appear during the opening ceremony at the games on Friday. The eight flames lit in Beijing, Yangqing, and Zhangjiakou, along with others from Stoke Mandeville, England, the birthplace of Paralympics, was lit on Monday, convened Wednesday afternoon at the capital's Tiantan Park. As Monty Python used to say, and now for something completely different. From CoolBlindTech.com, Good Maps, providing accessible indoor navigation at CSUN 2022. Good Maps will be providing accessible indoor navigation at the Anaheim Marriott for the CSUN Conference, March 15th through 18. Exhibits open to registered attendees at 4 p.m. on Tuesday the 15th and open to the public Wednesday the 16th through Friday the 18th. Navigate the conference using Good Maps Explore on iOS or Android. This is a golden opportunity to see if indoor navigation is something you would like to have in a building or transit facility near you. Good Maps works with a variety of building types, including corporate offices, museums, stadiums, hospitals, universities, and more. Good Maps mapped the Anaheim Marriott by walking the space and collecting LiDAR and 360-degree camera images to create a digital map. The Good Map Explore application then uses that map to provide turn-by-turn accessible navigation. The app relies on geo-referenced images from the original scan to determine where a user is in the building, which requires no installation of hardware. With the Good Maps technology enabled, conference attendees and hotel guests can easily find their way around the hotel and locate conference sessions and specific booths in the exhibit hall. To learn more about Good Maps, visit goodmaps.com. From AFB Communications, AFB urges Department of Justice to finalize digital accessibility regulations. From AFB 100, Inclusion Knows No Limits. Dateline Washington, D.C., March 1st. The American Foundation for the Blind, AFB, along with our colleagues at the American Council of the Blind, ACB, the National Federation of the Blind, NFB, and the National Disability Rights Network, NDRN, urges the Department of Justice to finalize a rule on web and application accessibility before the end of the current administration. The need for digital accessibility regulations has never been more apparent. As the COVID-19 pandemic has made clear, all of us increasingly live and work through digital tools and online spaces. When websites and applications are inaccessible, people with disabilities cannot apply for jobs, work efficiently, attend school, access health care, schedule a ride, shop, find public health information, apply for public benefits, gather socially, and more. The absence of regulations has resulted in persistent exclusion of people with disabilities from digital spaces, covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. The U.S. Department of Justice has long held that the ADA includes websites and other technologies that are critical to accessing a business's or agency's services or facilities, but has failed to define when and how they should be accessible. Meanwhile, the business community has requested clarity on how to create accessible websites and meet its obligations under the ADA, It is time to issue these rules, allowing the millions of Americans with disabilities the same rights as their non-disabled peers. AFB, along with our partner organizations ACB, NFB, and NDRN, sent a letter to Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E, on February 28, 2022, underscoring this request. The letter was signed by 181 organizations from across the disability and civil rights community. I think I have some time left for a little story from the February Blind Post, Driving Miss Donna, by Lynn Anderson. Devices that talk. Have you noticed lately that everything talks? Everything. Well, maybe not dogs or cats, at least not directly, because they have their own ways. But everything else around us talks. Cash registers for all those who use self-check, gas station pumps, crosswalks, computers, smartphones, computer tablets, watches, Fitbits, elevators, televisions, and even some buildings talk to us as we're entering into the lobby. We also have Alexa or Google or Apple devices in our homes to tell us the weather, what time of day it is, very helpful during shelter in place, or who starred in which movie that I can never seem to remember, and also plays us music if we have a subscription. That's another thing. Everything that used to be free on our devices now requires a subscription. It's either $1.99 a month if you want additional trivia questions. Does anyone else pay the daily trivia game with Alexa? Or $4.99 a month if you want unlimited this or unlimited that. If I agreed to every subscription that was offered, I'd be bankrupt. But I digress. Talking devices are a victory for the blind community, including Donna and Bevy, as this helps them in their daily lives. But has anyone else noticed that since all of our devices are talking to us, it seems that people are no longer talking to us? Case in point. I had mailed in my Verizon bill payment, but apparently it never arrived due to the many problems with mail service lately. Okay, I thought, no problem, I'll just go to our local store to make my payment. I walked in the store thinking that I would have a long wait, as it is usually very busy. But no, the representative asked me if I was making a payment. How did she know I was there to make a payment without my even asking her? Did I look like someone who avoided making payments? Did my smartphone cry out electronically somehow? I said yes, and she pointed me to a payment kiosk computer type of thing. The computer type of thing, I say that because it didn't really look like a computer to me, started talking to me and telling me how to pay my bill. I never saw the representative again as she was busy working with another customer, leaving me to figure out how to pay the bill on my own. Since I don't have a degree in computer science, it took me a while to figure it out. Are children today just born with some type of gene that they instinctively know how to work electronic devices? Just saying. That's another expression I hear all the time that is driving me kind of crazy. I blame all of this on Star Trek, the original 1960s version. Now, I loved Star Trek and still do. Uhura, the communications officer, was my hero. She could do anything. For those of you who remember the show, she always had a little device in her ear that was for communications and allowed her to converse with alien civilizations throughout the galaxy. Nothing could stop her. Although our current devices, such as the AirPod, resemble what Uhura used as she traveled throughout the galaxy, our devices don't work quite as well. Bevy uses an Apple Watch that works well for her, but one day in church, for some unknown reason, it decided to tell everyone in our vicinity the time of day every few minutes. It did that for quite some time in a loud voice, and no matter what Bevy did, it wouldn't stop. She tried valiantly to get it out of the loop it was stuck in before she was finally forced to just power the watch off. At the end of our prayer time, I heard a man row behind us say, "Well, we certainly know what time it is. Poor Bevy." I ran out of time for the rest of that story. We've run out of time for this episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.